This is the Sue Freeze Show, talking about life, relationships, and achieving. Unashamed and unafraid, 'cause I believe you mean it when you say, I am strong, beautiful, I am good enough. I belong after all, 'cause of what you've done. This is real, what I feel, no one made it up. I am love. Here's your host, Sue Freeze.
I just love that song. It's just happy, uplifting, and no matter where I'm feeling or doing, just kind of lifts me up a little bit, and I'm hoping it did the same for you. So you're listening to The Sue Freeze Show, and I just thank you so much for joining in today. And if it's your first time, gosh, welcome. And it's no coincidence that you've turned the dial and you've arrived right here, right now. And I believe that by you tuning in, this is an hour show, so get ready for an hour show. And I believe there's something here for you. And it doesn't matter where you are in your life. It doesn't matter if you're a business person or you're just trying to deal with your family life. Wherever you are, this life is a journey, and there are parallels in every lesson that we learn. And I'm becoming more and more aware of that as I go through this book that I'm talking about, and I'm just going to introduce you to it now. It's called The Advantage. And The Advantage is talking about healthy team. And, you know, we can have dysfunction in our family life, we can have dysfunction in our business life, and sometimes whatever level of dysfunction we are in, we're taking that dysfunction with us wherever we go. So I don't know about you, but my goal for you and for me is for us to get healthier and to be real all the time, but to understand the why behind everything and anything that happens. It's like, we don't always know, do we? You know, it's like, God, why? And we don't have the answers. God knows the answers, but we don't. And we don't understand everything. But to the level in which we can understand, we should seek understanding. We should seek to understand. And this book is helping me do that. And I'm hoping as we travel through this book that it's going to help you too. That's the goal. So when I'm talking about this, if you're not in a business setting, if you're not working with a business team, but you have a marriage, you have a group that you deal with on a regular basis, this applies to you too. So I don't believe that there's any level or any age group or any situation that cannot learn from this show today. And if you're tuning in for the first time, I just want to introduce you to Sue Freeze, spelt like fries, one word, .com. And I want to introduce you to that because as we move forward, and hopefully you connect with me on a regular basis, and it doesn't matter if you're in San Diego or if you're in San Luis Obispo or in Ventura or LA, Orange County, this show goes up and down the coast. But it also, with the Sue Freeze, spelt like fries, one word, .com, is you can get the podcast, 5 years of podcasts, anytime you desire, and you can share it with those that you think could benefit by the subject matter, by the heart that's shared on this show. So I hope you do that, okay? When you go to a good movie, and it's a really good movie, don't you want to share that with other people? So if there's something that could, you know, other people could benefit from, if you feel that someone's down or somebody just needs encouragement or inspiration, maybe this show could be one of those tools or that loving gift you could give just by sharing it with them. So I hope you do that. And on a personal note, I would love for each and every listener out there to connect with me. Connect with me by going to Sue Freeze, spelled like fries, one word, .com. And you can connect with me and give me your information and anything that you'd like to discuss or prayer you need, if you need prayer. And then I read every single one of those and I will connect with you because it is about connecting, isn't it? We don't want to walk through this life alone. And we don't, if we know Jesus, we're not walking alone because he's right alongside us and he's right there in front of us. He's right there. Sometimes we might not feel his presence, huh? I know there's been dark times for me where I haven't felt his presence, but later on down the road, I realized he was there. I just didn't feel him at the moment. And it could be because I pulled away, because Jesus doesn't pull away from us. We pull away from him. And maybe it's because you have unforgiveness. Maybe it's because you feel unworthy, which is a lie from the devil, because Jesus died for you. So just understand that you must have been valuable enough for God to give his only begotten son for you. That's pretty valuable, don't you think? When I thought about that, a new aha moment happened. Is I realized, you know what? As unworthy as I feel, God loved me enough to sacrifice his only son for me. And being a parent, that is huge. That is so huge. So smile, wipe those tears, and just understand how much you are loved. And if you don't understand, just reach up, ask him, and he will show himself to you. Just ask him, and he'll be there for you, because he says that in his word, and his word is his word. So if somebody needed to hear that, if it was you, I'm so glad that he spoke and used me to be an open vessel to be used for his glory. So I'm going to start out with, not with the book, I'm going to start out with another book that I share most often, and not always, because we ran out of time. So I'm going to start so we don't run out of time this time. And it's the book called Jesus Calling, and I recommend it highly to anyone and everyone. Enjoying peace in his presence. Do you have enough peace in your life? I'm pausing for a second, because I don't know about you, but I need more peace in my life. And sometimes I am my worst, because I cause so much busyness that I don't allow peace to enter. And sometimes I don't allow me to just spend time in his presence, and I need to focus on that. So I'm saying this out loud so I can be accountable to myself. How about that? And accountable to you. So I'm going to read from this book right now, and it's amazing how every single time it applies to the show and personally to what's going on in my life. Relax in my healing, holy presence. Be still while I transform your heart and mind. Let go of cares and worries so that you can receive my peace. Cease striving and know that I am God. Do not be like the Pharisees who multiplied regulations, creating their own form of godliness. They got so wrapped up in their own rules that they lost sight of me. Even today, man-made rules about how to live the Christian life enslave many people. Their focus is on their performance rather than on me. It is through knowing me intimately that you become like me. This requires spending time alone with me. Let go, relax, be still, and know that I am God. I always give scripture because I love scripture, don't you? It's his word. Cease striving and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. That's Psalm 46:10. And 1 John 3:2. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. It's interesting that this date that I'm reading talks about let go, relax. And the book I'm going to talk about is a little counter, because it's saying that results and being productive is important, which it is. But sometimes we have to slow down to speed up. And that might not make sense to you right now. And when we are still, we get the answers we need, because sometimes in our busyness, things are just flowing so fast and things are going so fast that my mom used to say, we can't see the forest for the trees, right? And so sometimes we just have to set back. We have to breathe and let the Lord just kind of reveal to us the truth or the answer that we've been searching for or seeking. We need to just sit back and relax a little bit. And God will reveal in his timing, but he will reveal. So I'm going to start in this book now, and it's talking about team effectiveness exercise. It's talking about that you can have two different companies side by side, and one company, both companies can be very successful financially, but one is going to be more successful because of the team work, because it's a healthy team. They work together for the common good. They all understand the mission and they understand what needs to happen. And it's not a statement. There is never a person that says, it's not my job, man. They all just jump in, or they see where there is a need and they fill it in the organization. Now, stepping beside that in a parallel is in the family life, is that there should not be one person doing everything. We should all understand what the mission is for our family, and we all need to work together. And sometimes that means sacrifice, doesn't it? Sometimes it means sacrifice. But you know what? We're sacrificing for the team. We're sacrificing for the bigger, the grander goal. But we have to keep the focus on that, or we can lose sight of what's important. So we're talking about team effectiveness, and this is an exercise that they use. A good tool for teams that want to improve their ability to hold one another accountable is something we call the team effectiveness exercise. It requires only an hour or two, and it can transform how team members go about holding each other to higher standards of performance. It's just that powerful. Now, does that have to be just a team like at work, or could that be at home too? Of course it could be at home too. We start the exercise by having everyone write down one thing that each of the other team members does that makes the team better. In other words, they write down for everyone other than themselves the single biggest area of strength as it pertains to the impact on the group. We're interested not in their technical skills, but in the way they behave when the team is together that makes the team stronger. Did you get that? It's not the technical skill, it's a behavior. Right? Each person, we all, my kids, I used to tell them over and over again, you were created for a specific purpose, and I cannot wait to see how this unfolds. And it's true. We all have a behavior. And we could go into, you know, what forms behavior, and a lot of our belief system can create a behavior. But it's not the technical skills. And I always talk about at work or even at home is that our gifts that God gave us, that he created for us to be able to fulfill the purpose on this earth. So then we ask them to do the same, except this time focusing on the one aspect of each person that sometimes hurts the team. So a behavior that hurts the team in the family unit. There's a behavior maybe each family member brings to the table that's both positive and both negative. After 10 or 15 minutes, that's all, just 10 or 15 minutes of thoughtful consideration and note-taking, everyone is usually done. Then starting with the leader, which at the home, who would that be? Probably the head of household, which would be the father. We go around the room asking everyone to report on the leader's one positive characteristic. So you'd have to look at that. Now, you know, I believe in learning all I can from any message that is coming my way, right? So I am going to focus on this in the workplace, and then I'm going to switch to my family life. Because it's not all this or all that, is it? The lessons we learn are for both, right? And if we can get healthy in both areas, why not? And sometimes we miss the lesson for our home life, but we get it so much easier at work. Why is that? I'll tell you why. It's easier to be in the head and not have your heart involved. When you have your heart involved, there's emotion that can cause us to shut down out of protection, out of not wanting to be vulnerable. So sometimes it's easier to receive correction in a workplace than in home life. Isn't it interesting? But it is a true fact. Just, you know, test my theory here, would you? Just at home, test this theory. And you will find that it's true because in business, you know, it's the head you're thinking about, you know, we need to do this, we need to do this, we need to do this, and this is the outcome. Okay, let's apply that to the home life. What are we trying to create in the home life? What is it we want to have happen? What are the goals we have for our family? What is the mission statement? What is the value statement we have for our family? What do we stand for as a family? What do we stand for as a company? You're listening to The Sue Free Show on our flagship station, KKLA 99.5. And I so thank you, San Diegans, for listening, Venturians for listening, all the way up and down the coast, you're listening. And Ecola thanks you too. Just thank you for being on board with us today. After you start with the leader and you report on the leader's one positive characteristic, we then allow the leader to provide his general one-sentence reaction. Oh, so each person's going to need to give a sentence or a statement on how they feel about what was just said. In most cases, a leader is quite humbled by the positive feedback, sometimes even surprised by it. Then we go around the room again asking people to report on the one characteristic that the leader needs to improve on. Again, we let the leader provide a brief reaction, not a rebuttal, but simply a reaction to the feedback after everyone has provided their input. Virtually every case, there is acceptance and appreciation. And then we do the same exercise for every other member of the team. It takes about 10 minutes for each person to receive both the positive and constructive feedback from peers and to provide his or her simple reactions. After an hour or two, depending on the size of the team, the exercise is complete. It's usually at this point that people are sitting around the table in a state of mild amazement at the direct, honest, and helpful feedback that they've just shared. The benefit of this exercise goes far beyond the mere sharing of information, as important as that is. The greatest impact is the realization on the part of leadership team members. Another, accountable is a survivable and productive activity, and it will make them likely to continue doing it going forward. Can you just picture this happening? I can see how this would be very positive. No matter what the situation, there will always be some discomfort as team members confront one another about their behavior. In the end, however, the level of cohesion and personal satisfaction among team members who embrace the new philosophy overwhelms any temporary discomfort. Public versus private. Have you ever heard that term, praise in public, correct in private? Have you heard that? It's interesting because I have a staff meeting every single Monday, and I have 7 key staff members that are part of this program, and they all have reports that they need to bring to the meeting, and they have to give me a overview of how they're doing, where they are in certain projects, the tasks that they're doing, and, you know, any issues that they have or need information or help in any regard. This is when we get that all out on the table. Well, sometimes there are decisions that I need to make on whether I should bring up a sensitive issue about results not happening or not following procedures or just not reaching the goals or following what we should have followed. Should I say that in a public forum of the key staff, or should I leave this for a personal private meeting? And I was, by reading this story, I was realizing that I feel a little more comfort level on the way I handle it. And here's what the writer says about this. I'm often asked whether leaders should hold their people accountable privately during one-on-one sessions or in more public forums with the whole team, like during meetings. Although every case is a little different, generally, I believe that on cohesive teams, accountability is best handled with the entire team. I see this because when leaders and team members call one another on issues in front of team members, they get benefits that don't occur when it takes place individually. First, when accountability is handled during a meeting, every member of the team receives the message simultaneously and doesn't have to make the same mistakes in order to learn the lesson of the person being held accountable. That's kind of like my daughter. I used to say, "Oh my gosh, Tiana, you know, you do such a good job," and she would say, "Well, you're just judging me compared to my brother, you know, Tyson, because Tyson would give me a little more run for my money. He wouldn't call me when he was supposed to. He would not be home when he was supposed to." And Tiana learned by the consequences she saw by how I handled it with Tyson. She realized it wasn't worth the effort to do that, so she decided to toe the line and do things properly. And that's kind of the same thing in the workplace, isn't it? Is that, you know, we learn from other people's pains. We don't have to go through everything ourselves. So I agree with this. I think that we can learn from other people's mistakes. We don't have to always make them ourselves. We can learn from watching other people and consequences. Second, they know that the leader is holding their colleague accountable, which avoids their wondering whether the boss is doing his job or her job. Finally, it serves to reinforce the culture of accountability, which increases the likelihood that team members will do the same for one another. That is so important, even in the home life. It's important for everybody to hold everybody accountable, because if everybody's doing their job, the burden is light. But if somebody's not, it means somebody else is, and that means that their burden is double. And that makes it very undoable for the team as a whole. Does that make sense? When leaders and peers limit their accountability discussions to private conversations, they leave people wondering whether those discussions are happening. This often leads to unproductive hallway conversations and conjecture about who knows what about whom. I can't stand those water cooler conversations. I really can't. I just think everybody should just get back to work and focus on what they can do. Talk about things that matter with people who care. How about you? Having said all that, when it comes to addressing relatively serious issues or matters of corrective action in which a leader is wondering whether a member of the team might not be worthy to be on the team anymore, then everything changes. These are best handled privately in a one-on-one situation to respect the dignity of the person being held accountable. However, and this can be dicey, the leader is often well advised to let her people know that she is addressing the situation to avoid unproductive and dangerous speculation. As uncomfortable and difficult as it can often be, accountability helps a team and an organization avoid far more costly and difficult situations later. It also allows a team to embrace the last behavior that is critical for a cohesive team, the focus on results. You know, that word results is huge, isn't it? It's because that's what it boils down to. And not always is it a money result. And I'll get into that a little later. behavior, focusing on results. The ultimate point of building greater trust, conflict, commitment, and accountability is one thing, the achievement of results. That certainly seems obvious, but as it turns out, one of the greatest challenges to team success is the inattention to results. What would members of an executive team be focused on if not the results of their organization? Well, for one, results of their department. Sometimes leaders are so focused on their own department, they're not looking at the big goal. They're looking at how can I be successful with my team? Greater affinity for and loyalty to the department they lead rather than the team they're a member of and the organization they are supposed to be collectively serving. No matter how good a leadership team feels about itself and how noble its mission might be, if the organization rarely achieves its goals, then by definition, it's simply not a good team. Would you agree with that? I totally do agree with that. Keep in mind that revenue and profitability are not the only measures of achievement, even in for-profit organizations, though they are certainly critical ones. The definition of results and achievement will vary from one organization to another, depending on the reason that a given organization exists. It goes on to talk about a football team, you know, or, you know, that's about if they win or lose, right? A school would be, you know, how well their students do in their testing, right? And for church, it would be how many parishioners are growing in their faith. They all have financial issues, and we all have to measure the financial measurement, you know, it has to be measured, but it's not sometimes the main critical goal. So, with all that in mind, what is the summation for this first half of this show? What would you think? You know, we need to be accountable. The big word that I'm hearing here, two words. One is results, and the other one is accountability. And that we are called to hold each other accountable. Now, isn't that biblical, too? Is that we are called each person to accountability with their walk, how they are living their lives. Are they doing things that are positive for their bodies or negative to their bodies? Right? Simple things like, you know, eating or smoking or drinking or cussing or what they listen to or who they hang with. Those are really important, aren't they? And we can hold each other accountable in those areas because we know we need to safeguard and protect those that we love. And it's also saying that we need to take, you know, we have to put others before ourselves. Isn't that what love is? Love is putting others before ourselves. We will be back with more of the Sue Freeze Show right after this brief break. Hi, Sue Freeze, the Termite Lady here. It's been my privilege to serve my community for 32 years as owner of Ecola Termite and Pest Control. Family is one of the most important things in my life, so you can imagine my panic when my little boy, Tyson, stopped breathing for the first time when he was 2 years old. It was the most terrifying thing I'd ever experienced. In an instant, Tyson had become a statistic. 1 in 8 children in California who suffers from life-threatening asthma. Those of you who listen to my radio show understand that I'm not a victim. I'm a mover, I'm a doer, and I'm a believer. And so I did what I had to do. I set out to find out why Tyson was suffering those horrific asthma attacks, and the journey was powerful and illuminating. I learned so much about how asthma attacks can be prevented, how you can make your home a healthier, happier environment, and how you can emerge from challenging situations like this even stronger and more powerful than you ever could imagine. I've shared my family's story in my new book, Learning to Breathe, available now on my website, www.suefreeze.com. If you or someone you love suffers from asthma, this is a book you must read. Please order your copy today. And for more information about effective alternatives to traditional pest control, please call us at Ecola 800-332-2847. We'd love to help you take care of your home and your family too. Learning to Breathe, available now at SueFreeze.com.
If you own or run a small business, here's some straight talk. No hype about how you can save up to hundreds of thousands of dollars a year on health benefits, business insurance, and HR issues. A company named Simpolicy can provide A to Z services for your employees to save you countless extra hours of work. Dealing with benefits, workers' comp, human resources, and business insurance. And they can save you money, improving your bottom line by helping with employee management. How much money? Just log on to Simpolicy.com and quickly fill in your employee census. Simpolicy will analyze your info and suggest ways to improve your employee benefits while reducing expenses so you can run your business and let Simpolicy do the drudge work. Find out more at Simpolicy.com. That's SimPolicy.com. Or call 888-980-8150, 888-980-8150. 888-980-8150. Simpolicy, your small business resource. A sister company to Montage Insurance Solutions.
They're called the stealth bugs of the insect world. Termites. Every homeowner's nightmare. But a lot of KKLA listeners don't lose a moment of sleep over termites because of Ecola Termite and Pest Control. They are California's leading ecological alternative termite control company. You see, Ecola gets rid of termites by using family-friendly, poison-free alternatives like Electrogun that seeks out and eliminates the little rascals, microwave process for small areas, and their new Ecola Heat using clean, hot air for entire walls. No embarrassing circus tent over your home. No poison gas, no bagging your food, or moving out for a couple of days. Ecola Termite and Pest Control gets rid of termites effectively and quickly. So, call Ecola at 877-332-BUGS. 877-332-BUGS. Ecola. Powerful termite and pest control as gentle as a butterfly. Ask about their 2-year warranty. Call 877-332-BUGS. You're listening to The Sue Free Show.
So collective goals, we did a summation before the break, and I just want to stop here and pause for a second and just say thank you to Ecola for sponsoring this show. And listen, if you know somebody or if you are a small business or you have a ministry that you would like to educate people about, if you'd like to get more customers, if you'd like to just let people know that you're there and that you're here to serve, whatever your area is, if you want a vehicle to be used, you can try the Sue Free Show for really a reasonable cost. And we produce the commercial for you and get it on the air. And if your location is just in a certain county, we can also accommodate you with that. If you're just in San Diego or you're just in Ventura or you're just in LA or Orange County, whatever, you know, contact me by going to Sue Free, spelt like fries, oneword.com. As the first half, if you're just tuning in now, thank you so much for tuning in. And you can go to Sue Free, spelt like fries, oneword.com. And when you go there, you can listen to different subject matters, different people that I've had on this show. For 5 years, I've had shows come and go, and they're all there for you. So you can share them with people. You can listen to them at your leisure, which is always nice, you know, when you're not so busy and you can just breathe. I know I need to remind myself to do that myself. Anyway, so I'd love for you to connect with me by going there and connecting with me. And if there is something you need, if you need connection with someone, if you need resources, just go there, tell me what you need, and I will do my best and I will help you any way I can, because that, I think, is why I'm on this show, is to help you move forward in your relationship with the Lord and just, you know what, understand who you are in Christ and what you were created for. You know, I think it's really important we know that. And I don't know about you, but I want to be the best me I can be. Do you want to be the best you can be? And so we're constantly learning, aren't we? And everything that happens, every minute of every day has a lesson. Everything has a message. But we have to be open for it. We have to be asking the Lord to just reveal to us what it is He wants us to get. When I go to a seminar or I go to, well, I just go anywhere. I sacrifice time. You know, time is money, and I sacrifice time. I always come away and I'll say, cool, what did I get out of this? And it has to be, it's usually like, you know, an hour will be one golden nugget, and that one golden nugget could change your life. But you have to know what that is, and you have to implant it in there, and it has to be something that you think about. And sometimes, like the seed that you plant, takes a little while for it to sprout and to grow. But that seed has to be planted first, right? We have to take that initial step before it can bear fruit. We have to start somewhere. So whether it's listening to my show, reading a book that's going to help you understand, hopefully the Bible is one that you read so you can get that scripture inside of you. On a side note, at the break, Roland, my producer, my engineer, the guy that's been with me forever since the inception of Sue Free Show, who's been such a godsend for me and such a an encourager. Just he just always is encouraging me and praying for me and praying for this show. We were talking about that not only is this important that, you know, whatever you apply at work, you can also take home, which the message was there, that you can take it home and apply these same principles at home in your home life. But then go the other direction, and I just want to know, if you are a believer, if you truly go to church and you're in the Bible and you pray, Do the people at work know that you believe? Do they know that you love Christ? It goes both ways, doesn't it? It goes both ways. And should we have two separate lives? Or should our lives resemble the same regardless if we're at home? Or do we only have patience at work? And we come home and we just throw the crumbs or, you know, all of our frustrations go on our kids or our wife or our husband? Are we only civil in one area and not the other? Are we living two separate lives? I know this is going to hit a couple of you right between the eyes, and I hope it does, because now is the time, right now, as it hits you, that you can make a change right now and make a decision. Because it starts with, you know, identifying you have an issue and then making a conscious decision that you are going to change it, that you want to change it. The desire is there. You might not have the means at the moment, but you have the desire to do something different. And if you want something different to happen, you've got to do something different, don't you? I mean, that is just, it's for sure. If you keep doing the same thing over and over again and you keep getting the same result, obviously you got to look at that and go, maybe I need to do something different here. Maybe I need to say it different. Maybe I need to choose my timing. Maybe, you know, whatever it is, you need to do something different if you want a different result. And it usually starts with you, because we can't control another person. We can only control us. And even sometimes we can't control us. You know, the Lord knows all and is all. So we have to look up and reach up and ask Him to guide us and give us the strength we need and the courage we need to do what we need to do. Because sometimes even we don't have it in us to do it on our own. It's just a fact. Face it. But that's okay, okay? Because God has this thing, it's called grace. And His grace is sufficient for you and for me. And I'm getting off the book a little bit because the Lord's saying, this is where you need to go, Sue. This is good. Keep it going. And so, you know, somebody needed to hear that. Maybe it's you. I needed to hear that. Let's just be honest here. I needed to hear that. And so if you needed to hear it, it's just good, isn't it? It's good because we can just be real and truthful. Just look at the person in the mirror. And you need to come to grips with the person in the mirror. Do you like who you see? Do you like that person staring back at you? And if you like that person, if that person's kind and loving, forgiving, generous, if that person is looking back at you and you smiling and you feel good about that, then bravo, congratulations. Because if you're happy, if it looks good to you, chances are God's pretty happy too. But does that mean we stop here? Does it mean that we don't have room for growth? No, it doesn't. We still have room to grow and we should strive for excellence. We will never arrive, and not on this earth. But that's okay. We should be getting better every day. Every minute of every day, we should become better than we were the day before. And if that's a mission statement right there, then that's a good one. It's a good one. And so we have to choose our guidelines, right? We have to choose what is our target. What are we aiming for? And are we doing something good today? Are we doing the right thing today? Are we doing the right thing right this minute? Are we where we should be at this moment? Getting back to this book, Collective Goals. When it comes to how a cohesive team measures its performance, one criterion sets it apart from non-cohesive ones. Its goals are shared across the entire team. This is not just a theoretical way of saying that people should help one another. It's far more specific and far more difficult, too. In most organizations, results are compartmentalized by department. Executives see themselves as having little or no responsibility for goals that fall outside their functional areas of expertise. This, of course, is not good for a team. Though somehow it doesn't detour many leaders from calling themselves teams and preaching the importance of working together across functions. The only way for a team to really be a team and to maximize its output is to ensure everyone is focused on the same priorities, rowing in the same direction. I'm going to say that again. Now, if you were thinking business, switch to family. And if you were thinking family, switch to business. You ready? The only way for a team to really be a team and to maximize its output is to ensure that everyone is focused on the same priorities, rowing in the same direction, if you will. I like that. Great teams ensure that all members, in spite of their individual responsibilities and areas of expertise, are doing whatever they can to help the team accomplish its goals. That means they need to be asking difficult questions about what is happening in other departments and volunteering in any way they can to help those parts of the business that might be struggling and might jeopardize the success of the entire organization. Team number one, the only way for a leader to establish this collective mentality on a team is by ensuring that all members place a higher priority on the team they're a member of than the team they lead in their departments. Oh, how long have I seen that happen? How often have I seen that happen where I've got my pest control department, I've got my termite department, I got my heat department, and then I've got my call center department. But they all interrelate, and this affects that, right? And so the person that's in charge of the call center has to understand how the rest of the moving parts work. Because if they don't, how can they talk to the customers that are calling in? And how can we figure out what process or system is going to work the best if we don't understand the correlation and the overlap of everybody's responsibilities? It's so necessary to the good of the whole. Teams that lead healthy organizations come to terms with the difficult but critical requirement that its members must put the needs of the higher team ahead of the needs of their departments. On a personal level, we need to put others before ourselves, don't we? And if we do that, isn't that love? When you put the other person before yourself. I taught a Bible study quite a while ago, and when I was teaching the Bible study, it was asking about love and how to define love or how to notice or recognize love. And when I really gave it some deep thought and prayer, it came to me that, you know, putting others before ourselves, because God did that, you know, He sacrificed and He put others before Himself. And that is the true love. Sacrificial love is putting others before yourself. And my thought was in a marriage or any type of love relationship is if we are constantly focused on putting the other person before ourselves, and if both people in that relationship are putting the other person first, wow, would there be any fighting? Would there be any conflict? Maybe. There might be conflict, but it would be a loving conflict. And, you know, it just seems so much easier if you feel like your feelings matter. It's so much easier to give in or just realize that, you know, the other person has your best interest at heart. I found that a lot of the times in relationship, in arguments and conflicts that, I just felt that there was such a need to get my point across. There was such a need to be understood. That this was a long time ago, but I felt like I was totally misunderstood. Have you ever felt like you were totally misunderstood? And whether it's in personal life or in work, because sometimes you get skipped over for promotion, or you know, you just feel like you're just really not valued or significant, that people don't recognize or appreciate what you bring to the table. And it just doesn't feel good, does it? We can give our all. And if somebody's not there to say, wow, you really gave your all, or wow, I really appreciate what you do, or wow, I appreciate who you are, and I love you for who you are, depending on the level of relationship, whether it's work or at home or, you know, that one significant other that can only reach that deepest, deepest part of your heart. And they have the, you know, that person that we put in that position, they have the most ability to hurt us the most, don't they? So in that, it would be nice if we didn't have to guard so much and we could be real and let our feelings be known and know that it's a safe place for us to be that person. At work, we do have to, you know, have healthy boundaries, and we have to understand our place, and we have to understand, you know, what is okay and what's not. And that's not always easy, you know, because, you know, there's a lot of moving parts. But in any relationship, you've got feelings and you've got people and there's a lot of moving parts. So the best thing to do in any of this is that, you know, to be honest with yourself, be real with yourself, and look at what your part in anything is and see if there's a way you could be better at your part. And when you do that, chances are things are going to get better. Chances are. You're listening to The Sue Free Show on our flagship station, KKLA 99.5. And I so thank you, San Diegans, for listening, Venturians for listening, all the way up and down the coast, you're listening. And Ecola thanks you too. Just thank you for being on board with us today. So in summation of this chapter, of this portion of this book on advantage and being a healthy team, not a dysfunctional one, but a healthy one, whether it's family life or business life, there's a checklist for discipline one: build a cohesive leadership team. Members of a leadership team can be confident that they've mastered this discipline when they can affirm the following statements. The leadership team is small enough, 3 to 10 people, to be effective. So that's telling you something right there. Members of the team trust one another and can be genuinely vulnerable with each other. Team members regularly engage in productive, unfiltered conflict around important issues. The team leaves meetings with clear-cut, active, and specific agreements around decisions, meaning you have buy-in from everyone. And the one before there is saying that it's okay for us to disagree. As long as we understand, we can disagree. We can agree to disagree. It's okay. Team members hold one another accountable to commitments and behaviors. That one is so huge, and that's not just at work, is it? That's at home, too. Sisters and brothers can hold each other accountable. Husbands and wives, we should hold each other accountable. And accountability is sometimes tough, isn't it? It's not always a pleasant conversation to hold somebody accountable because you're having to tell them that maybe they're not doing things just right, right? We have to say, you know what? You're not measuring up. And that doesn't feel good. But afterwards, the plus is there. But sometimes we don't take it. And then when we finally get to the point where the pain's worth the gain and we do it, we wish we would have done it a lot sooner. Members of the leadership team are focused on team number one. They put the collective priorities and needs of the larger organization ahead of their own departments. And that's saying that for the family is that we put the family and the mission statement of the family before our own needs. I want to go to the volleyball game. No, kids, we need to go to church. You know, it could be a number of things. But there's priorities. If there's a funeral, if there's a wedding, if there's a special something of another family member, and you know, maybe you're not even close to that family member, but it's family, and you need to celebrate with the family, or you need to, you know, what does it say in Ecclesiastes? You know, there's a time to cry, a time to laugh, and we need to be there for one another, don't we? And that's what family's about. So what's it worth to you? Again, let's imagine two different organizations. The first is led by a team whose members share a common passion for what they do and are committed to abiding by the same set of values. They have a clear plan for success and know exactly how they differ from their competition. At any given moment, they can articulate their top collective priority and they understand how every member of the team contributes to achieving that priority. The second is run by a group of well-intentioned executives who have a good understanding of the details of their business, but they don't spend much time thinking or talking about why their organization exists or what values should drive their behaviors. Though they talk about being more strategic, they can't really articulate a simple, clear strategy, and they don't have a consistent method of evaluating decisions. The leadership team is constantly managing against a long list of eclectic goals, some of which may not be compatible and most of which pertain only to a few members of the team. Moreover, most team members have somewhat limited knowledge about and interest in the specific responsibilities of their peers. The question, what kind of advantage would the first organization have over the second? And how much time and energy would it be worth investing to make this advantage a reality? Okay, in my organization at Ecola Termite and Pest Management Services, we are growing. We need people. If you know anybody, if you know anybody that would like to have a career, we want you to get in touch with us, okay? 877-332-BUGS. And we need to talk to you because we really, really are growing and we have more work than we can handle. Nice problem to have, but it's still a problem. And so the reality is that I'm reading this book because we are growing, and I'm reading this book because I want to have the best company. I already feel it's a great company, but we want to be even better. And the way we can do that is by having a healthy team. And I feel like we've got a strong foundation, and I feel like we're moving in the right direction, and I feel like people on my team understand what is necessary and what's important to us. But I'm reading this book because, you know what, we never know it all. Right? I know I don't know it all. And the more, you know, people I have around me that I always say I want smarter people than me around me because that makes me better. And it's true, you know, and I'm reading this book, but the lesson that I'm learning, it goes so much deeper than just the business. And that's my message to you is that the lessons we learn are, you know, they overlap, they parallel. And we shouldn't have two separate lives. It's all one life. We are who we are. And we are that person from morning till night. We wake up to that person and we go to bed as that person. But it doesn't mean that we can't be better. okay? And each day, when we before we put our feet on the floor, I would hope that we're talking to our Heavenly Father and we're asking Him to guide our steps. I am doing this. I am truly doing this. I'm not just talking. I'm doing it. And I'm asking the Lord to guide my steps because I want my steps to be His steps. And I want my words to be His words. Do I fail? Yes, I do. And so do you. And that's okay because God gives us grace. But the difference is that I'm aware that I am either walking the way God's wanting me to walk or I'm not. And I'm aware that I have the ability to make choices and changes as time goes on. So my goal for you is that you will, before you put your feet down on the floor, that you ask the Lord, you pray to Him. And you know, people say, well, I don't need to go to church. I'm a spiritual person. I don't need to go to church. And I will tell you right now, I'm traveling quite a bit. And so it's hard for me because I don't have that consistent appearance or that consistent sit on Sunday morning to be able to hear a message. But I get a message. I get a message either on TV or on the radio, or it's so thankful for KKLA and Salem stations all up and down the coast because we can. If we can't make it to church, it doesn't mean we can't hear the word and we can't get a message to help us teach and to be taught. So with that, I'm going to say, you know, look for opportunities to get more of His word in you. Memorize, if you can, one scripture. Start with one scripture a month if you have to. It's a step. It's a start, right? And then from there, you can go to maybe once every 2 weeks, and then from there, maybe once a week. And you can memorize scripture. And you know what? It's amazing when you memorize scripture and the address to scripture, how you lean on those scriptures when in time of need. You already have prepped and you already have them in you. You have them in your heart. You have them at the tip of your tongue. And when you need them, and it says in the Bible to be prepared with His word to those that need, right? So if that's the case, how do you get that? How do you get prepared? You by reading His word and letting that word just get inside of you. And you know what? It's amazing how it changes you from the inside out. It really is amazing. So we will continue next week with discipline 2, and it's talking about creating clarity. Creating clarity. First is build a cohesive leadership team. 2 is create clarity. 3, reinforce clarity and over-communicate clarity. So how clear do we have to be? Little humor there. You know, clarity is really important. But first thing is that we have to understand what it is we're trying to do. Who are we? Who are you? If somebody asks you who you are, what would be your answer? And if you were in a team setting and they asked you what your biggest gift is to the team and what your biggest negative is, would you know what that is without even asking your team? Do you know what that is already? Ask yourself that. Ask the Lord to reveal it to you if you want. Or get with a team and do this exercise that we talked about on this show. And I'm so thankful that you were part of this show. Remember, Sue Free, spelled like fries, oneword.com. Go there. Would you go there and connect with me? Until next week, be a blessing to someone each and every day.
This has been the Sue Free Show, sponsored by Ecola Termite and Pest Control Services. It's that time of the year when bugs multiply like crazy and start looking for a home, your home. Ants, spiders, fleas, earwigs, termites, and a lot of other creepy crawly critters, even rats and other varmints. It's time to call Ecola Termite and Pest Control Services. They offer complete ecological pest control of rodents and insects. Ecola has one-time services, ongoing monthly services, their most popular and economical every other month service, and even quarterly service for occasional pest problems. Ecola keeps rats and mice out and eliminates insects in their nests. It's the most effective way, and their termite control is legendary. So call Ecola today for a free estimate of complete pest control at 877-332-BUGS.
No more creepy crawly critters like ants, spiders, fleas, earwigs, termites, rats, and other pests. Call them at 877-332-BUGS. 877-332-BUGS. Ecola, powerful pest control services as gentle as a butterfly. Ask about their 2-year warranty. Call 877-332-BUGS.